the Mac Show. Yes, we're here. We've waited a long time to try and start this. Kelly's having Skype trouble, so she can join us when she damn well likes, because I'm fed up of sodding waiting. We're here to discuss the week's Mac news. Fantastic as it is. Joining me, top left, Carlos Madden.
Oh, me first. Sorry.
How you doing, pal?
Hello, I'm fine, thank you very much. Recovered from last week.
You're in the Don seat.
Oh, I better behave.
Are you walking? Are you on the desk walking?
No.
Do you know how much those things are? They're $2,000 a piece.
Yeah, but it's Don.
That's true. He's got three. One holding the door open. How you been, mate?
I'm fine, thank you. Like I say, fully recovered from what you tried to do to me last week.
We succeeded, didn't we?
Well, someone should have told me you kept filling up the glass after I drank from it and then walked away and came back and thought, why can't I get through this glass? What's going on?
No, that was me. I actually put about 30 quid's worth of beer in there. There was three steins went in. After every time you drank some, I would fill it up again. And you'd drunk like an entire stein's worth and I'd pour a whole stein in. And I woke up at Steve Neighbours. I felt a bit rough, I have to say, on Saturday. And I went down to him and I was like, dude, I spent shitloads of cash. And he went, you know, you filled Carl's up about three or four times from your own glass and you emptied your glass completely into his. I'm like, no. And excellent. It was a different beer as well, so.
Oh, well, I didn't know. Oh, and I felt fine the next day. I went for a fry up. I was lovely.
Oh, God, no, I was rough. Rough as old boots. But anyway, happy birthday, mate. 1 week old.
Thank you.
Over 45. Mm-hmm. You're getting there. Next to him, joining us again, thank you very much for stepping in, sir. Adam Christensen from the MacCast.
Hey, how you doing?
Ground pal, you?
Okay, except I can't see anybody, so I feel in the dark.
I'm sorry, mate. We can't do feedback because I'm already taxing this Mac as much as I possibly can.
No, I usually have the Justin feed open, but it's still black for me. I don't know.
No, I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Keep going. Push on.
Next is Kelly McGaunt. Oh, no, there isn't Kelly McGaunt. She's not here. She's still having trouble with Skype, so we'll get back to that in a minute. And last, but by no means least, making a welcome return after his holidays, Will Green.
Hello.
How's things, boy?
Oh, not too bad, actually. Not too bad. Pretty good.
Good man. How was the holiday?
Oh, it was good. We're over in Swanage, the lovely Swanage, which is in the south of England, in Dorset.
Excellent.
You know, they'll Punch and Judy and mackerel fishing.
Donkeys.
And deep sea fishing, and I caught a few dogfish.
Oh, good.
And that sort of thing. What else?
While you're talking about the seaside, I've just got a tweet in. James Fisher is listening to us on his iPhone at the end of Blackpool Pier.
Oh, isn't that lovely?
How cool is that? So it's the YouTube stream. The YouTube stream is working, and James is watching us at the end of Blackpool Pier. Hello, mate. Go up and kiss someone quick.
That's not a good idea.
No.
That might work, or it might not. I don't know.
Well, who knows? You've got to be forward, haven't you? We've had some reviews. Thank you very much. If you'd like to leave us a review, really makes a world of difference to our rankings in iTunes, and they're absolutely brilliant. And first one's from Tungsten Tim. He says, this is one of my favourite podcasts, always off topic, jumping down rabbit holes or two during the show. What makes it special is the fact that they can even make the dullest of weeks news entertaining to the point that it's probably safer to not either drive or operate a machinery whilst listening. The cast and crew of the network are just incredible, funny, and just so knowledgeable about Apple. You're clearly not listening.
Is this the right show?
Listen, well, maybe it was the ones that you did. Listen and learn. Country Bus has put one in. He's only given us 4 stars, which was a bit upset. Never mind. But he's put just a line to congratulate you all on the choice of the new host for the Mac Show. Brilliant. Tosser.
I think that's a fantastic review, if he means me, by the way.
Do they mean me? They surely
What does he mean when you came back?
No, I think he means you, mate. I can always go, you know. Who's got a
that's
phone?
That's not
then?
My phone, right? I'm just saying that one.
It's not mine either.
Nor me.
It's the American, as usual, then.
No, that's an old phone. You have to have an iPhone 4 for that.
Oh, that'll be me then, maybe. And Dave W. has sent £2,000 worth of fun. Because of this bloody show, I've had to buy a Mac. £2,000. Yes, the show's is that good. I've been banned from listening to the podcast in bed because I keep the wife awake by laughing. Best I not tell her about the Mac then, perhaps, and how much it cost. Unable to laugh now for some time, it would seem. Dave, awesome. Thank you very much. Your commitment's amazing, but if you haven't got a Mac, mate, what the hell are you listening to a Mac show for?
Well, you can now.
If you'd like to give
those, those folks have been around for years. I call them the Mac curious. the ones that...
We know the sites you go to then.
I better be quiet because that whole war on porn.
Yeah, over here you can get banned just for saying you dislike somebody as well if you're being nasty. Kelly's trying to ring in, but she's not. She's not online, according to what I'm seeing here. Kelly Gamart will be here at some point, I'm sure. Can't keep Kelly out of the conversation.
My video is sorted too, so I'm good.
Excellent.
When I realize you have to press the play button.
Right then, the news for Apple. First story, Amazon. Here in the UK, the Mac store in the UK has been updated with software and games for the Mac. All your favourite stuff's in there. Office is there, Photoshop Elements, that kind of stuff. And you're also getting a lot of the games. Now, a lot of the games are actually the stuff that's in the Mac App Store already, and the prices seem about the same, I think, because they're in dollars in the one that I looked at. I couldn't get a UK version to show it with UK prices, but... I mean, there's a lot going on this week. Google Play is taking a hit as well on Apple. iTunes Cloud is coming out in Japan. But there's chunks being torn off the iTunes monopoly here, isn't there? Left, right, and centre.
Well, is there?
Yeah.
Because as you say, like it's the Amazon one, the UK one, it says beta when you finally do manage to find it. Because I'm just trying to find it a second time. I can't find it now.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't say anything about how many user licenses you get. Because on the Mac store, you get 5, don't you?
Yeah.
Which is very good. I mean, if you've got more than one Mac, it works out very well. I'm not sure how many you get for the Amazon one. And because I can't get back to find it again, I can't tell you, unfortunately. But the prices seemed a bit cheaper to me, though, I've got to say. I mean, because I saw Borderlands 2 for about... I think it was $9.99. I don't know what it is in the Mac store.
Well, I think you take your life in your hands, generally speaking, because I saw... I've been playing Rome Total War at the moment. Ellis has got me into it, and I'm bloody addicted to it, along with Sam off the Gamer Show as well, his recommendations. And Kelly's just restarted. If it takes that long to restart, it isn't Skype. Winrider in the chat room saying... I'm not sure they can be the same ones as they are in the Mac App Store and Amazon together, but Rome Total War's in there, definitely, which I've just bought on the Mac App Store, and that was £19, and it's $29. So that's kind of about the same, I guess.
But how are they going to deal with the updates?
I don't know. Maybe does Rome Total War update itself if you don't buy it inside the Mac App Store?
Yeah, they probably distribute the same thing you'd buy if you were buying it. I'm assuming you buy it from the website or from Steam or whatever. Does Steam have auto updating inside itself? I'm not a huge gamer, so
I'm not sure. I'm not sure at all. I've never done it. Steam, so.
Yeah, but I mean, with Amazon, I'm sure it is. Just you probably get the app with it has its update functionality built into it, as opposed to like with Apple going through the App Store. I would assume it would be the same. It's just like if you had bought it off of some other website.
I mean,
Apple has that messed up stuff where you got to go everything through them.
The only question I've got in my mind is, here we go.
Call from Kelly.
It's Ms. Gamont. Hello.
Well, maybe. Let's see if this works.
Okay, just keep with the audio if we're not. Don't worry about it.
Let me see what happens if I do this.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So the thing that makes me think here is that Amazon has done the software thing now for Mac, which is good. Google Play is hitting hard with the music in the UK, and they're doing books as well now. I mean, has iTunes got something to worry about and defend in terms of its commercial position, or has it always had that, and I'm just being a bit naive?
You know, in my mind, the thing that Apple has is the lock-in with its customers. So these things are great for, I think, users on other platforms. But I think if you're a Mac user, the average Mac user is just going to use the stuff that's built in. You've got the Mac App Store. You're going to buy your software there. It just makes it easy, right? Because when you go to upgrade or update, or you have the one place to go, same thing with your iBooks and your iTunes. And so Apple has the whole lock-in thing. The exceptions are going to be those people who are tech geeky enough to know how to, you know, hey, I can go get it at Amazon cheaper. I'm doing that with music sometimes. You know, I'll buy my songs over at Amazon because they're not DRM'd, and I can sometimes save a little bit of money. But that's extra work. A lot of people just want the convenience of, oh, there it is in iTunes. Click the button, buy it, done. I think that's a lot about what iTunes Radio is about. So, but for other platforms, for other things, you know, I think these stores expanding are good for other consumers. But I think at the end of the day, Apple doesn't worry about it too much because they know they've got the lock-in for a large portion of their customers. Not all their customers, but a large portion of them.
I mean, certainly for things like for the cloud storage, the fact that I've bought a movie, I can get the movie wherever I want, I can get the movie on any of the devices that are registered, Apple TV, laptop when I'm away, iPad. I think it's fantastic, and it's great. And a lot of companies wouldn't be able to pull you away from that easily. But in terms of software, right, if they're giving you 5 licenses that you can then spread around the computers that you've got, and they do updates and deal with updates, that is competition. And good competition, even to a locked-in person.
Well, I don't... Even for me, I don't... They would have a hard time even pulling me away, and I'm, you know, techie enough to be able to sort of sort it out, but... You know, again, I think it's the classic.
Is it the aggro factor though?
It's the Windows IE thing. Like, how many people used Windows IE and it was shit? You know, worst browser ever on Windows. Yet everybody just used it because it was the thing that was there and they had.
We've contaminated Adam Christensen. He said shit on British podcasting. Good man.
Good awesome. Man. Now I can have him on Angry Mac Bastards.
Yeah. No, your swear words are gonna have to go vertical from there, though, Adam.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, see, everybody has this misconception because I chose to make my show. I don't use that on my show, that I don't use that language. No, I've got to come hang out.
Oh, no one's saying you. Adam, no one's saying you're prissy boy. Don't worry about it.
I can attest. I've heard him go full. I've heard Adam go full longshoreman. Pretty awesome. Mm-hmm.
Will, were you going to say something there?
Sorry.
No. Not really.
I think it was me. Google needs to offer these things, though, because all their phones, like, there's multitudes of Android devices out there now, and they need to offer something just as perceptively simple as iTunes for their client base. And although us on, like, Apple devices, we can use the Google stuff, but it is like an extra click because you have to come out of the Apple experience, go to a website, buy your stuff, then you can download it or stream it or whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
like exactly. they've got the same problem if they want to use Apple stuff on their Google phones.
It's worse for them; they don't even have the choice.
Go on, then, Greeny.
Sorry,
don't put Greeny off speaking. Go on, mate.
No, well, it's it only came. So there's a film called When the Lights Went Out, mm-hmm. or was it When the Lights Go Out? Either, a British horror film. Great, loved it. Watched it 3 or 4 times. Bought it off iTunes. Oh, you know, it's all in the cloud. You don't have to worry about that and anything else. It's totally disappeared off everywhere, off the iTunes store, off the things that I purchased on my Apple TV. If I go to my Mac and I go to my purchase thing, it's gone there as well.
Has it disappeared off your database as well?
Yeah. Well, see, the thing is, I don't download stuff. Did I miss her? Go on. What did you
say? Has it disappeared off your database?
Yeah, thank you very much. I did hear last week's show.
You were gutted, mate, aren't you, Bento?
What? No, I'm not actually that bothered. But Bento was always a bit rubbishy because they didn't do relationships. It wasn't a relational database, so it was never that useful. So I've always sort of stuck to FileMaker myself, and I think they've come to the same conclusion themselves. Except for the price point. The price point for Bento was about, what, £25? But the price point for a FileMaker is about £200.
Mm. Is that FileMaker's right? Huge as a cost.
Yeah, it's quite a bit. Anyway, listen, you're distracting me from my...
Sorry, mate, go ahead. Go on. I sidetracked you.
About iTunes. Mm. So I bought this film, which I really like, and they've deleted it from my database of films without my permission.
Have you written to them?
Yes, I have.
And what did it say?
It's been 2 days now, and I still haven't had a response.
Okay, that's not very good.
I have insight on this. Ah. Insight. Because this has come up on my show, and the bummer is Apple's going to tell you that, you know, we throw up alerts and we tell you you need to back up your stuff when you buy stuff from us. I had a listener who had this happen to him with an album that he bought, and he went to go re-download it, and it was still there, but it was a completely different cut, a different version of the thing he had bought originally. Wow. And the problem here for Apple is it's not Apple. It is the studios, it's the publishers. You guys remember when NBC just up and went, hey, we're pulling everything off of iTunes because we don't like it. And they were gone for like 6 months. Hmm. So it's great that we can re-download this content, but Apple doesn't always necessarily have access to it. So it could be, I'm just theorizing here, maybe this is a technical glitch, but it could also be that for whatever reason that whoever distributes or publishes or whoever they have the deal with for that movie suddenly decided, nope, we're not going to do it. And we've seen this happen with streaming video services too. I mean, Amazon just lost a whole bunch of stuff that they had a contract and for.
There are movies that swap in and out on Netflix as well for the same reason.
Yeah. So a studio could get a wild hair and just say, nope, we're not doing iTunes anymore. And they pull the content. So Apple doesn't have even the rights to let you re-download it anymore.
So always right-click, show on Finder, and slide it out.
I don't back myself up.
Surely the point being, I mean, but these HD movies, right, can run to, you know, obviously many gigabytes. And I appreciate if the studio removes it, then surely Apple should give you your money back for some, you know, you purchase something using their service, and they should tell you, look, download this because it's been removed in 14 days. At least give you a reasonable amount of time to,
yeah, it should give
to
you
be able to download
that
it.
That would be nice.
And if, you know, in worst case scenario, at least give you your money back. I mean, saying just removing it without notice, and sorry, that's it. You know, you can't watch that anymore. It's not our fault.
Yeah, but this is always the thing, isn't it?
Really.
You didn't
put, here's the thing, though.
But you didn't purchase the content, though. You purchased a license to watch it. That's the problem. That's your trouble.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean,
but I can't watch it.
If you bought the physical disc and you scratched it all to heck and you couldn't watch it anymore, what would the studio, you know,
you wouldn't get a replacement.
Your retailer and say, I want my money back. They're going to say, you're crazy buying it.
Yeah, but I think the only difference there is people have trouble making that analogy work because of the fact that they scratched the disc. Someone else, an external agent. If you said that the studio turned up and scratched the disc and then said you can't have another, then I would have a hard problem with that. But the problem you get with that, and this is the thing that always has problem with information and data, is you can't own information and data. You can only own the medium it's stored on. So when you buy the disc, you do own the disc. You don't own the data on it, but you own the disc. So if someone comes and scratches the disc, that's criminal damage. That's a different thing entirely. So,
Fair point.
I had that, and when I did my law degree, there was a question in there about a bloke breaking into a property and making himself an egg sandwich and walking out. And what were the charges that you'd press? And everyone just went for, well, he stole the eggs and he stole the bread. And then they said, well, what about the gas that he used to cook the egg? And they said, can you steal the gas? Well, no, you can't, but it's abstraction of gas.
And what about stealing a breaking entry?
No, breaking entry as well. No. But it was. We were trying to do everything that you could do it for. Sorry. Anyway,
all of the
chat room's going on. Pete's saying that Belt says the Mac App Store's great. When I set up a new system, I just have to sit there while everything downloads for me, and that's a great point because that's what a lot of people are stuck into it for. I raised the query about there only being 5 instances of Macs that you can use. And Winroy in the chat room says that you get more than 5 Macs on the Mac App Store. It's only iTunes that restricts you to 5, which I didn't know. I thought the Mac App Store restricted you to 5 as well.
So did I.
So if we can test that, that'd be great. Because the problem I've got like 12, 13 Macs here. And in terms of the active Macs that I use, I'm up to 6 as soon as Ellis gets one in his bedroom when he gets back this weekend. And I'm kind of, because mum only has, I bought her a solitaire game that she likes playing in the Mac App Store. It's the only thing that she plays, and she loves having it. So I've either got to be a bastard to her and say, sorry, mum, you can't play solitaire anymore, or I've got to put up with Ellis whinging why he can't play Rome Total War and Plants vs. Zombies and Star Wars Angry Birds. And I'm trying to weigh up which is the worst thing to do. Being nasty to mum's. Well, I can say being nasty to mum's coming down tops at the minute, rather than put up with the grief of Ellis. Apparently, Mac App Store is 10, according to Bells and a few of the others. So, huzzah! I learned something today.
It's 10. I was looking for actual information, but my gut reaction is that it's 10 because you authorize through the Mac App Store separately than you authorize through iTunes.
Yes, you do. And, of course, you get Mac. You get 10 devices for iTunes, don't you, for all content. So,
yeah, I think so.
Today,
I'm going through the licensing terms of service. I'll be back in a couple hours.
Good man. Just type
in have a nice coffee, Adam.
Just type in the word 10 and see if it repeats. Command F10. I've learned something today, and today's a good day. Bels is saying 13 for the Mac App Store. Very cool. No, I haven't got 13. I own 13 Macs because I've got 5 that do nothing but run the Skype wall behind me. So, which isn't behind me. That's all virtual. That's a green screen.
10. 10.
10.
It is 10.
10's the limit.
Oh, okay. It's cool.
You may auto-download content. Well,
I'm happy
eligible
today.
On up to 10 associated devices.
Shopping tomorrow?
Wait. You're going shopping tomorrow so you can put because you can put more devices on. Hey.
Well, I've got to buy more Macs to use up the 10 licensing.
Oh, I want to say thank you to Mustang Matt as well. Matt Barton, he's at Mustang Matt on Twitter. Because at McCorriston, Rich McCorriston gave me a 12-inch.
It's a wrong place to pause.
Gave me a 12-inch Mac PowerBook.
PowerBook G4?
I've always wanted one of these. And he gave me one of the 12-inch ones. And it's beautiful.
Aren't they cute?
I love it. I never had one, but I ummed and ahed about buying one of these in Best Buy, I think, when I was at one trip. Or CompUSA, when I was out on a trip to the States years back. And I didn't buy it. And he gave it to me. He said, the only thing is, I haven't got a power supply for it. And Matt Barton's given me a power supply, so now I am complete. Thank you.
Very, very
nice. To both
nice.
Of them. I haven't fired it up yet.
Wait a minute. So this is really confusing, actually.
Oh, so go on.
It says 10 devices provided no more than 5 are iTunes-authorized computers.
Oh, so I just don't have to authorize one for iTunes, then?
Yeah, I think so.
So mums can be authorized for Mac App Store, and I take it out of the iTunes authorization. Yes.
Weird. Yeah.
That is kind of weird, though, isn't it, that the two actually talk to each other?
How are you going to break it to your mom that she can't listen to her Judas Priest records anymore?
Nah, so that's okay. That's going to be fine. Mum wouldn't know what iTunes was if it leapt up on the screen and said, "Hi, I'm iTunes." She's my mum rang me up the other day. She said, "I can't create an email. Why?" She said, "The button to create it has just gone." "What do you mean it's just gone?" "I opened it and it wasn't there anymore." "Bullshit, Mum. It doesn't do anything. It you have to have done it." "I didn't do anything, honestly." Oh, Christ. "Mum, forget it. Every conversation we have about that frigging Mac that she's got is, it just did it."
This sounds like tech support for my family about half the time.
Double checking in the chat room. You're all being backed up here. Adam Bell says, 5 for iTunes, 10 for App Store. And Winrider says he's got a pair of 15-inch PowerBooks in my collection, but no 12-inch. I think Rick McCorriston's got another 12-inch with no power supply. If you write to him and say nicely things to him, I think he might post it to you if you give him the postal charge. But it is Australia, Pete, so. I charge my family double for tech support, says Fortress. Good lad. The Apple board is concerned about the speed of innovation that's occurring with an Apple. I think they're worried that old Timmy boy is a bit strung out. Discuss.
How quickly do they think that you can do innovation? There was some comment they made too about, you know, they need to innovate quicker. It's like, yeah, let me just take a pause here and innovate for you. It happens overnight.
Hold on.
The board is worried about what is in the pipeline. Do they have the right stuff in the pipeline? Do they have innovative stuff in the pipeline? Do they have stuff to keep momentum going? Apple stock is currently down 35% from the all-time high of early this year, which was complete bullshit anyway. And the stock's made a bit of a run recently.
You know why they don't have to worry is because everybody else is waiting for Apple to innovate too, so they're not going to do anything either. So,
fair point.
Apple can take as long as they want, because then when they innovate, then everybody will just, you know, jump on board. And,
Carl, you were about to say?
Didn't this story just originate from one guy, one finance guy on the Fox network, and everyone picked up on the story and added their own little bit?
Charlie Gasparo. Gasparino.
I mean,
it sounds like
but then,
the kind of thing you'll hear more about on the podcast I usually record on Tuesdays.
That's it. Because now this is a total link bait story for all the people who pushed it out. Because they're all saying exactly the same thing, which always like means there's one source coming from it, which is always something to look out for. If you've got one source with a story, then it's normally nothing. It's nothing in it at all. How many people on that Apple board? About 10, 12 people, I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you've got one guy on the Fox network who's just happened to say this as a passing comment, and now it's on all these like news sites.
Fox News is an oxymoron.
Is it?
Be fair. Yeah, it is definitely. Fox News is probably one of the biggest pieces of trash TV that I've ever seen, and I'm British, so it's worse than Jeremy Kyle.
What's the really awful news network you guys have there, or newspaper you guys have there that's like all fake and like everybody sues it for tabloid BS all the time?
You're going to have to narrow it down.
I thought there was one that was exceptionally bad.
The Sport.
We have the Daily Mail, which gets
a lot. The Daily Mail. Okay. Yeah. Fox News is the Daily Mail of United States news coverage.
It's far right broadcasting, isn't it? And it's, basically, yes. It's Murdoch controlling what the American people hear.
Now, that should be all I need to tell you guys, because you guys are familiar with his work.
Mm-hmm.
I think he said, Tim Cook said, watch out for fall and early next year. That's when we're going to put stuff out. So if we get through that period and nothing comes out, then we can start believing these stories, I think, maybe. But he said nothing's coming out until the fall or autumn and next year.
Q3. He said, Q3 of this year and into 2014 was the quote that he gave originally.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, everybody's kind of hanging out and waiting. And
they did pretty well.
If I recall, this was a one source story. Somebody said it and then everyone else went, oh, doomed.
They do pretty well, though, on last year. They did pretty well on releases, didn't they? They released a shed load of stuff.
Yeah, they put everything out virtually last year. So,
they had
big staff changes. They've now redesigned iOS, complete the look at least, redesigned it. And we know something's coming in the next month or so. Well, we deeply suspect. Sorry.
Well, it's going to be fair. That last thing, the last Tim Cook thing, they released tons, didn't they?
Mm.
WWDC only a couple of months ago.
Mm.
And it made me laugh when he said, "Innovate my arse." I mean, it was a lovely line. And
who said that?
Fatty Phil, as you would say.
Fatty Phil said, "Innovate my ass."
Yeah, when he showed the Pro off.
Are we back to the Mac Pro actually fitting now?
No, anyway, so that's coming. We know that's coming at some point this year.
Yeah.
Hold on a minute. I was talking then.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Greeny. It's your floor, mate.
I saw it came to the end, actually.
Oh, okay.
Go on. Sorry. Yeah. There it is. Thank you very much.
Full stop. That's what you wanted to add, wasn't it?
Yeah, full stop.
Period for the American listeners.
Here's the thing, though, right? Is we're barely...
Hold on, Carl was talking then.
I shall give the floor to Adam.
Start up again?
Cede the floor to the Right Honourable Adam Christians.
Right, based on the fact... there's some brevity and knowledge required. Adam, go ahead.
So what I was going to say is I think people forget that we're barely into the tablet revolution, and it's because Apple's been playing the game for so many years now. But I mean, everybody's just really catching up, and that's really just people are now transitioning. We're seeing the numbers where, you know, what Tim Cook said was going to happen, that we're moving from PCs to the tablets as the main platform. That's really just getting going. So the thing is everybody's looking at what Apple has, and from that perspective, it's a mature lineup. Apple's in the middle of a bunch of products that they've been in development for years, and they're just sort of iterating on that thing. And everybody wants the next big thing. The thing is that if you ask people, it's like, well, what is the next big thing? Well, everybody's just guessing. They're like, oh, it's a smartwatch. It's a wearable thing. It's a television.
Television.
Are we really at the beginning of the end of the PC era, though? Because I think that phrase is bunkum. absolute bunkum. I love my tablets. I love my Mini. I carried it down last week to Carl's Bash. It was great to have something around my neck that I could do stuff on. But, you know, I was never going to work on it for the day. I love my iPad 3 here on the screen while I'm watching and working. I can watch the cricket. But when it comes down to it, until I get a 27-inch tablet, I am never, going to be at the end of the PC era.
You're not a casual user, are you? Most people buy a computer. This is why they can go out and buy from PC World a 200, 300 quid machine, because all they want it to do, browse the web, go on Facebook, answer email. And a tablet can absolutely fulfill that function.
Right, so how many of you have got a tablet? All.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. How many of you sit and write all your email on that tablet or sit all your email on your laptop come desktop, or would probably say that in preference you would use your desktop for sitting typing email? Because I would always sit down and type email on a desktop.
I prefer my tablet.
Pad, yep.
Me too. Yeah, an iPad.
I come into the office and I sit down to check my email. I don't do it on an iPad.
Yeah, but you got big gorilla fingers, haven't you, really?
Well, I've also got the iPad watching the cricket, so I can't. This is the problem with pads. I have to stop the cricket to check my email. I don't want to stop the cricket to check my email.
You just need that Microsoft pad so you can do two things at once.
Okay. Is that a segue for
that? I was going to say another iPad.
Okay, two iPads. There you go. It's not the end of the PC era. It's the start of the buy more than you need era.
Go ahead, Adam.
Let Kelly speak, because Kelly hasn't spoken much yet. I don't get to say that 20 minutes into a podcast very often.
Thanks.
Go on, Kel.
I think part of the issue, or part of the reason that it's sort of post-PC is, I don't know that that's necessarily the best phrase for it, but I do think that it has become the time where the megahertz war is over. I have a 2 gigahertz machine. I have a 3 gigahertz machine. I have a, 1.21 gigawatt machine. Nobody cares. It doesn't matter anymore. And I think that's a huge piece of what's been going on, is that PCs are as fast as PCs are going to be. They are faster than anybody can usually tax them into being for somebody who's doing regular work. Some email, some web, maybe a little Facebook, and wants to, surf the occasional website, whatever, play a game once in a while. Those people, totally fine. And I think what has happened is that over time, once it was not a status symbol and it wasn't like an event to go get a new computer, and that they started to fade into becoming utility devices like a microwave, like everybody just pretty much has one now. It might be new, it might be old, it might do more stuff, it might do less stuff, maybe it has a popcorn button, but everybody has a microwave. And I think that now that PCs are, in general, not PC and Mac, like, a computer in your house is not a special thing anymore.
No.
And more than one computer in your house is not a special thing anymore. I think as people have gotten realistic about what they need their machine to do, and the tablet has become something that can do a lot of that, I know a handful of people who sat down and went, this is the stuff that I need to do. How can I get that done? And when they looked at an iPad, which will have way better battery life than any laptop and has a nice big screen and can get online so many places all over the place and can do all of these other things, and they can, I can log into the bank. I can, like, my dad was looking at mine when he was here visiting. He can log into the bank and see, what's the deal at the credit union. He can look at the cameras at the dams on the river to see the fish go by and see what the fish counts are. He can book a reservation at a golf course. My dad's retired. This is what apparently my retired father does. And then he can look up sports scores for the Trailblazers and the Mariners. And that's all he needs to do. And then he can manage his email with a built-in app. He has the camera with FaceTime, which is what I'm using right now on my iPad because stupid Skype.
It's not Skype. It's your computer. Move on. If it was Skype, this wouldn't be working.
It worked fine for me yesterday on my computer, and today it's absolutely failing.
Oh, so it's my fault.
I'm blaming BTN because I can blame BTN. But anyway. So
I feel I know your dad now. I know everything he does. When's his birthday? I'm going to send him a birthday card.
Actually, you and my dad would probably get along pretty well. that he
does. He talk shit. Does he talk shit as well?
No, but you should hear his Alec Guinness impression.
Touche.
My dad, being realistic about what he wants in a computer, has decided that his next computer is going to be a tablet. And a tablet is a computer. I think this is where a lot of people get hung up on a distinction. Like, there's not necessarily a keyboard attached, but if you want one, you can have one. And I think that that's something that once a lot of people sort of get over themselves and go, you know, an iPad will do everything I need. It's just fine. The screen is good and it'll last all day. I don't have to worry about charging it. I'm fine with that. Like, I know a lot of people who have either made their machine, you know, decided that all they really needed for a computer was a tablet, or they have decided to get a tablet at all, you know, gone from zero to tablet as opposed to, you know, sort of a downgrade from a full-on computer.
So down to the tablet. The chat room saying, I agree with Kelly, tablet's definitely a computer. Bookery saying smartphone is a computer. I agree entirely with that phrase as well. I'm not saying it's not a computer. What I'm saying is I don't believe we're in the post-PC era.
No, because, proving my point, and you didn't let me finish.
Go ahead.
So where I was going with this is we are at the start, at the infancy of an innovation already. It's okay. Just people forget because Apple's been playing this innovation game because they're the ones that innovated the thing for so many years. And they're going, well, now it's old hat. Apple needs to do the new thing. But you got to give them time to do the new thing because Apple does not also rush into the next new thing, which is what everybody else is doing who's not waiting to figure out what Apple's going to do, right? We've got people making smartwatches, but they don't know why anybody wants or needs a smartwatch. We've got people making smart TVs, and they don't know why anybody wants or needs a smart TV. Mm. Apple's not going to put those products out till they're ready, and they're just barely in the infancy of a revolution that they created. So why do we need to have them make the next revolution?
Mm. Apple wasn't first with the iPod.
Okay.
They weren't the first MP3 player on the market.
True.
Plus,
Carl,
plus Apple have never said they're making a TV or a watch. It's just rumor sites, which everyone has picked up on and says, oh, we're making a watch too. Oh, we're doing it, honestly. In fact, we've announced ours, so we're better than Apple already because we've already said that we're going to do one.
Oi, Madden.
Yes, what's that?
Why wasn't I invited to your birthday party?
You was invited. You ignored me.
you were away and...
Take exception to that. I was not invited.
You need to check your social media streams more often, young man.
Oh, that sounds like he did. And I do believe that Carl did.
Which social media stream would that
Any of them.
He only invited 15 people, mate. So it was an exclusive party and you were one of them.
Was I?
Yeah, you were invited, mate.
Yes, there was that. An invite did go your way, but I never got a response.
How did you send me the invite?
Electronically. I can't remember exactly what service I used.
You bloody lie, you didn't.
No, I swear. I'm sure.
I've got to say, Grinny, I love the pair of you to bits, but I'm siding with Madden on this one because I can't believe if he says he invited you, then he definitely did.
I've embarrassed him. Come on, how did you send it me? He can't remember.
I can't remember. It's probably emails or Twitter or DM or something, I would imagine.
If you wanted it to get through, you should have sent Greeny a telegram, says Boogery.
Exactly. That's absolutely right. You know how many DMs I've sent you, Will, and never had a response?
Well, he gets thousands.
It's never non-personal. Never take
it. No, I assume. And I never follow up because I always feel like it's nagging.
I would like to come to your birthday.
There we go. Madden never follows through, even on a good curry. Microsoft have released an ad campaign for their one of the pads that they're running, which is anti-iPad rather than being pro-Surface. I think that's a really tacky and really bad thing to do.
Say that again.
I think that's a really tacky and really bad thing to do.
The leader to the
story. They've unleashed an ad campaign which, instead of being positive for their tablet, is negative towards the iPad.
Oh, that's rough, isn't it?
I think that's wrong. I think that's a bad move as well.
I have a favourite part of this advert, and that is when they say with attached keyboard, and it puts they clip the keyboard on, and there's little right in the bottom saying keyboard is extra. But yes, so is it on the iPad.
Apple don't make one though. To be fair,
Well, they've only sold about 20 of these Surface things, anyway, haven't they? They haven't done particularly well, as I understand it.
I think there might be 25, but you're right.
This is what everybody's doing, though. Nokia, Samsung. I mean, this is the new trend. This is how we advertise our products, is we just tell you how bad that Apple product you bought was and why it's crap.
That's weird. I'm not sure this sort of advertising works.
It doesn't work. I don't think it does. I think it smacks of desperation. I mean, the chat room's already saying, you know, Microsoft is just scrambling there.
But I know it's like, I think this is something that happens in America. We don't so much get it in this country, but I've noticed in the past, like when you see American adverts, a lot of it is slagging off the competition, like this car or that car, or this cereal or whatever the subject, whatever the item is. There used to be a lot of negativity in American adverts. I'm not sure if it's there now, but I remember in the past seeing...
It was the American way of advertising.
It just doesn't resonate with most consumers, so it's odd even to us as to why companies do it, because it just turns most people off.
It used to be illegal here, I think, in this country, to do an advert and mention a competition.
No, it wasn't.
Wasn't it?
No,
they just didn't do it anyway.
We just had more class.
It may have been an agreement that they all made or something, yeah.
We just had more class, that was it.
Class.
The chat room's off on RT for some reason. Right Turkey. Rejected Technology, Real Turd, Roast Turkey, and Rolled Turd are the ones that are out so far.
Look, it's the ad in particular is for the Surface RT, which if I recall is the one that you don't want because it won't run anything or the battery life's crap. And like, if you're going to buy one, you have to lay down the cash for the actual machine, which is the Surface Pro, which is dramatically more money. Which is the thing that they end the ad with, is the price of an iPad and the price of the Surface RT.
The Booker in the chat room saying that is RT the new WinCE, but I don't mean that. From what I understood, WinCE was a very far-reaching OS. I mean, there's an awful lot of stuff runs on WinCE and runs very successfully, Tils, that kind of stuff. As a light OS, it was fairly prolific in ad hoc hardware, no?
I had a WinCE device, and it was probably 1998.
Yeah,
it might have been, and I got it connected to my Ericsson something or other over infrared, and I was able to send and receive emails on a little mobile device, which at the time was amazing.
Jornada ran CE for a while, didn't it?
Which one?
HP Jornada, or was it Compaq Jornada ran it?
Yeah, both.
Yeah,
I think it did okay. It was okay for what it did.
Well, I say if you go to there's still a lot of places where you'll look at Tils registers, stock control systems, minor subsystems on large moving plants and things like that, and the root OS that's controlling them is still CE. If you buy a 20-year-old JCB, the root system on it is still WinCE. So it wasn't a piece of crap.
I know this is not a Windows show, but I never understood what RT, what market it was aiming for, RT. Because I remember...
You don't know any better.
Oh, okay.
It's the iOS version of Windows, basically.
Yeah. I was going to say light.
It's the variant of Windows that's designed for lighter weight, uses like tablets.
Easy
but then
button.
It got very little support.
Right. Nobody wanted to develop for it because of the limitations of the hardware.
Yeah, you should be able to run Office on it.
Yeah, it comes free with Office, I think.
Does it? And,
Office comes free
For a 300-quid thing with Office on there?
But here's the thing. See, Microsoft put Windows on everything because they think Windows sells, and they put Office on as much as they can because that's their biggest cash cow that's left at the moment. But I think... Mm-hmm. Office is not what it used to be. We all had to use Office in the past. You all had to have spreadsheets, Word documents and stuff like this. But now we've moved on, and there was that massive long period where certain things wouldn't support Office, or Microsoft wouldn't let Office be supported on certain things. So everyone had to find alternatives.
Yeah.
So, and then you've got things like Google Docs come along. And Google Docs is not as nice looking maybe as Office, but it fulfills about 80, 85, 90% of what Word and stuff does. And so they've kind of, by messing about, it seems to me, they've sort of shot themselves in the foot a bit, because now everyone uses Google Docs and they pay nothing for it, apart from a bit of information.
Yeah. Go on, Adam, sorry.
I was just going to say, Bells in the chat hit the point on Office on RT. The problem is they didn't optimize it for a touch interface. So it was just basically Windows version of Office running on a tablet that didn't have any touch optimization. So like using it was, from what I understand, using it is just awful. And I tried it in a Microsoft store, and with the few minutes I had with it, I could see how awful it was. Everything was tiny. It was hard to tap stuff. You had to do the same kind of desktop actions on a tablet, which we all know doesn't work. If you've ever had an iOS app that's just like the Mac app ported over, they're terrible. They have to be redesigned and rethought for a touch interface.
Which goes back to my point of what I was saying. I think if you were saying that we were at the post-PC era alpha version, I might agree with you. We certainly ain't even at beta. Not by any stretch of the imagination.
No, but you're making my point. My point is that everybody's like, Apple needs to innovate. It's like, they just did. They just did. We're barely, through this innovation.
Bell says in the chat room, Office comes with the Surface RT, but I think you'll actually find that probably the Surface RT comes with Office, mate.
Well, somebody else in the WinWriter in the chat room says you can't do work without Office, which was the thing that was drilled into everybody for so long. And then everybody got an iPad, and the iPad was an extension of the iPhone, and everybody took their iPhone into the office and went to their friendly neighborhood IT guy and said, give me my work email on this. And so they did it, and that's how people started sort of
IBM of
working iOS into enterprise.
IBM have had to write their own application for collection of email so that it doesn't pass through Apple's servers. But they've had to do it because so many people are saying, I don't want a BlackBerry. Right. I want.
So there is one now, and so a lot of people were doing that. And then when they got their iPad, they went, wait, I can do more stuff on my iPad because it's more comfortable to type, because the keyboard on the screen is bigger, because the screen is bigger, whatever. And so, they were set up with that, and everybody was told, you can't do work without Office. You can't do work without Office. But people sat down and went, wait, I can buy Pages and Pages will do it, or I can do it in Google Docs or whatever it is. People found a way around it. And so I think this really did shoot Microsoft in the foot, because the halo effect is people switch, I bought an iPad, it was great. I bought an iPhone, it was great. Maybe my next computer should be a Mac. They buy a Mac and they go, you know what? I don't need Office on this. And now that Office wants me to pay every year, screw that. I'm buying Pages and I'm moving on with my day.
Yeah, and Pages is great.
Sorry, I was going to say, to Microsoft. It is a pain in the ass, really, because, we all know for the last sort of 20 years, Office has been the mainstay of offices, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to import a Word document or an Excel spreadsheet or a PowerPoint presentation into the likes of Pages or, iWorks, as it used to be called, or into Google Docs is a complete bloody nightmare. It really is. Mm-hmm. And I still think that Office has got a place, but it might be that, yes, it's a nightmare now, but I think there needs to be a standard, doesn't there, that will work between Google Docs, things like iWorks, things like Office, that will maintain and preserve the look and format and feel of it. And if you bring a Word document, an important Word document, for example, into Pages, and somebody says, look at page 16, no way, no, on this earth, if it's a legal document or something like that, absolutely no chance. You have to go always back to Office. And I love Google, but even Google, when you bring stuff in, it doesn't do a massively good job of converting.
Yeah, Belts is agreeing with the chat room saying Google's a bag of hurt, but the killer feature is the fact you have collaboration.
But it is.
In the transition? Are we moving from the crappy old Microsoft world? If you, on the other hand, create a document in Google, and a lot of companies are, enterprise companies are, then you're laughing. It'll look the same across every single device, whether they're mobile or they're whatever, a tablet or a desktop or a laptop, look exactly the same, and you can collaborate and everything else. It's just, I think we've got this pain in the ass transitional period between the old system to the new, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
But all I'm saying is, like the iPad and the iPhone have been around for ages. Microsoft could support them, but they're choosing not to. They bought out that sort of hobbled one for the iPhone, which you still have to be a member of that Office 365 subscription thing. But there's no reason why they if they wanted to increase the shares of Office, they wanted to put more Office out there and keep it relevant and keep it up to date and make sure these little chunks are not taken out of his armor. They need to put it on as many things as they can possibly get it on, rather than just stick it on a few devices which are not selling. For whatever reason, the public have looked at these devices and said, that's not for us.
You mean take the same approach that they took before, is like, we're going to have our software and we're going to have it run on everything, everywhere. And so what changed now is the hardware went a different direction, and they're still trying to hold on to, well, we want it, you know, on machines running Windows. You know, I think they lost a little bit of the sight that, you know, Microsoft is a software company and we just want our software running everything, on everything, everywhere, and everybody using it.
That's it. For some reason, sorry.
Yeah. They got locked into it needs to be running on Windows.
That's right. For some reason, Microsoft thought it should become Apple. For whatever reason, I don't know why they seem to lose their confidence, and they should just stick to being Microsoft and do their things that they were always good at.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't beat Excel, can you? Best spreadsheet in the world.
No.
What they were good at was executing Bill Gates' vision.
Yeah.
And the guy at the top doesn't have vision anymore. The guy at the, if it had been Bill Gates running things when the iPhone was announced, Bill Gates would have said, this is an awesome thing and we should let people run Word on it. And he probably would have said the same thing about the iPad. And he probably would have said, make it 80% as awesome as Office for Mac, or make it only do part of the things that you can do on a full desktop version. But let people have it, because we need to make sure that they continue to use Office so they continue to buy it for their computer. Ballmer said, Apple makes a phone, that's cute. Apple makes a tablet, that's cute. And look where it got them.
Yeah, they got their reply.
They forgot that the thing people were locked into was .doc.xls, .ppt. That's where their power was. I think they lost sight of that.
They totally did.
Very good discussion. I raised a question this afternoon on Twitter, saying, has anyone else noticed that Comiccast, they seem to throttle your IP? And I've noticed that if I use Comiccast to look for comments from the podcasts, I get server errors after the first three requests. And then even if I look through iTunes from this IP on any machine, it still says, no, you can't. And I've written to Tyler Binden, who made Comiccast, and he's written back just this second saying that issue's been nagging me for months. Apple made a change, and it seems that they're throttling the number of requests, and I'm only finally able to get into devote some time to look at this. My day job's been super busy, but there should be a beta up soon if you're getting that problem. But the biggest part of the change will involve slowing down the refresh significantly, though. Good service, mate. Thank you very much. Love your application. Oh, good. Never mind. What's that, Kelly? What have we done wrong?
No, nothing. It looked like we fell off YouTube. Yeah. Yep. It locked up for a minute and then it unscrewed itself.
That's because the show finished at 5 o'clock, allegedly.
Oh.
The live stream only went from 3:30 till 5. So.
When Bill Gates died, do you reckon they'll do movies about him?
Yeah, I would be surprised. They might be pretty boring movies, but
call it Gates.
It'll be a documentary.
Gates. Sounds like an episode of Silent Hill, doesn't it? This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. They're absolutely brilliant. We love them to pieces. We say it every week, but we really do need you to support them, because every time you pick up your mouse and you go and click UK2 services using our link through off our website and using our offer codes, we get the kudos for it, and we keep them afloat, and they keep us afloat, and we're all happy and dandy. Our server costs us £400 a month if we don't get support off them, so it's a good kind of exchange with what we're getting, and you guys are buying service from them in shed loads. The only downside of the moment at the summer is the fact that they've got a summer sale on, which is 30% off, which is just ridiculous, and that's most of the services that they've got. So you can do far better with their offer code than you can with the one that we've got at the moment. But we're grateful to them, and please support them as much as you can. Make sure you go to our website, though, use our click-throughs and use our offer codes, and then you'll get great reductions on your basket. And also, don't forget Ebbs down at Ye Olde Smugglers. in Oldie Smuggler's Rest down at Alfriston in Sussex. I found out that he was listening to the show at 10:28 last Monday morning. Because I offered, there was 50% off. But I did get a reply from him saying it won't be 50%. However, if you go in to the Oldie Smugglers Inn and say that you're a listener to BTN and you're there because we sent you, he will sort you out, unquote. That doesn't mean anything. He's going to take it around the back and give you a duffing. I mean, I think you're going to get a bit off your bill. So there you go. And we're going to have some kind of Christmassy thing down there. We'll team up and have a beer, so... it should be good fun. Thanks to him for sending through some beers for the bash, and thank you to UK2 as well. Right, it's time for the cool thing. Mr. Madden, kick us off, pal.
Well, Will's going to go mad at this one because of what I picked. I picked 12 South's High Rise, which I don't think is out in Britain till the end of the month. And what it is, it's a stand, but it's also a charger. But because it's 12 South, they like make it look very cute and sexy and everything like that. And it's literally, that's it. It's a charger, but it's such a stylized stand and charger that you can put your iPad or your iPhone on it. And yeah, you have to put it together yourself, but then you sort of thread the cable through and up through the middle of it so you can put various chargers on. And it looks nice. It's 35 quid though. But
oh, for iPhone 5 and iPad mini.
Yeah. But it does look nice, and after I got a few 12 South things, I like the look of this, so I put my cash down for the launch.
Oh, have you already put the money in?
Yeah, bought it from Amazon.
Oh, I say, there it is. That is the High Rise adjustable stand for iPhone 5 and iPad Mini. It does look good,
and
you nothing they do is bad.
Sorry. Oh, yeah, if you've got... it's not one of those stands. You can put a case on it and you can still use it because the back's adjustable. It doesn't matter how thick your phone is, effectively.
I will be writing at the end of the show to Shannon in marketing at 12 South and be asking for a review unit. I just want to make it perfectly clear from the start, I don't give any of my review units back for 12 South because there's nothing in there that's crap. They're all great. So I get to keep them and... my review's not good because I get to keep them. It's because it's all great and I can't think of anything bad to say. We'll be having one of those. Oh, beautiful.
So pretty.
Good pick, mate. Good pick. Price?
Alas, I think it's 35 quid on... Yeah, 35 quid on Amazon.
Oh, so, okay. It's a solid piece of aluminium, so it's not going to be dirt cheap, is it? So.
Although someone said... It says two new ones on there for £23.50, so I'm not quite sure how that works.
Oh, I can't see how that works either.
I never understand how that works on Amazon.
Okay. Adam, what do you have for us, sir?
I have another time waster. I think I did ridiculous fishing and someone commented.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Sucking up all their time.
And tiny fish.
I have a new one for you.
Stop taking my life.
Yesterday. Little Inferno. You like to burn things because that's all you do in this game.
Not since the Call Order.
So little Inferno from the Tomorrow Corporation. The concept here is that you're a kid and you get a new toy and it is a toy fireplace. And so you take and collect all your toys and you throw them in the fire and you burn them.
Oh, it's actually the first thing that comes up on the newer noteworthies on the screen.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
that may be how I discovered
£6.99.
It's in the Mac App Store. It's actually on every platform: Linux, Windows, Mac App Store, iOS. You know, I got it on the iPad, the HD version on the iPad, which I think is $4.99 US. I was going to look up the UK price for you.
$6.99 on the Mac App Store. So,
yeah, it just came out on the Mac App Store, but I got it on the iPad, which it's been out on for a while now. I think. And so you get these catalogs and you earn coins. There's no in-app purchase or anything like that. It's all in-game stuff, which I really appreciate.
It's from the people that made World of Goo.
Yeah, it's the same designer from World of Goo, so it looks beautiful and gorgeous. And the idea is you'll have little combinations that you have to try and figure out. So you get hints and you can score more points by figuring out which things to sort of burn together to get extra points. And then there's a whole storyline that goes along with it. I guess the idea is you're sort of trapped inside. It's been snowing outside. I haven't figured out that story element of the game quite yet, but it's very unusual. It sounds silly, but very addicting. I got it yesterday, and I played a bunch last night. It's just loads of fun. So
excellent.
And you get to burn stuff. I mean, come on.
Yeah, not bad at all. We like that. Your video's frozen as well, Adam, by the way.
Oh.
It's not exactly the most flattering.
Probably because I brought up iTunes.
Yeah, there you go. Kelly, what have you got for us, mate?
Okay, so mine is something called ear skins, and these come in two varieties. Because there's people who have the earbuds, the round white pack-in Apple headphones,
mm-hmm.
and then there's people who have the pointy-ended ones. And I've never found either of them particularly comfortable to put in my ears for an extended period of time. Not because they fall out, but they just aren't comfy. And a long time ago on my iPad headphones, the foam covers that they used to give you for them, like I had a pair that disintegrated, and so they sent me like five more. And so I've been hoarding those like the treasure of the Sierra Madre because I want to make sure that I have them forever. And so I've been using those on my ear pads. And then I got these, the little pointy ones, and the ear pod or whatever they call it. And the ear pod doesn't fit those. And so I've been very sad because they're not very comfortable. And now that I have a nice, beautiful new microphone that I like to use, I wanted good monitor headphones for it. And so these weren't it because an hour of these in my ears really was not comfortable. So I found this product called Ear Skins, and it's this little silicone sleeve that goes around your ear pod, and they make an earbud flavor as well. And you can get them in whatever color you like.
Mm.
Well, probably not whatever color you like, but a lot of colors. And they're super comfy. And what they do that I think is genius is this front edge is a bit thicker, the part that goes over the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get that in there. This piece of silicone is a bit thicker. The rest of it's a real thin skin that goes over the whole thing. And then this bit is a little bit thicker and a little cushy. And so when I put them in, they're super comfy. They don't fall out. You can see they're totally working. And they're super comfortable. I know somebody who got these so that then they can use Nature Space on their iPhone at night and put the headphones in and the headphones don't fall out.
You have no idea what I'm going to do with that piece of video now.
Yeah, I actually probably do. at least some of it. So, yes, I got red ones. This is what the red looks like. I got red and white to match my red smart cover on my white iPad. And but they come in, like, orange and blue and green and all kinds of other colors. And they're $10.95 U.S. There's a coupon code. If you buy two pair, it puts you over $20. And there's a coupon for $5 off 20 or something like that. So you can get like two for 15, and shipping in the US was super cheap. I bought these, they were $10.95, and it was like 99 cents shipping or something. So they're super awesome. They're called Ear Skins, and it's skins with a Z, and it's all one word.
Mm-hmm.
And they're super comfy. And I'm really excited because the sound in the ear pods is pretty decent. And particularly if what I want them for is podcasting, they're awesome for that, super lightweight, and now I don't have to worry about being uncomfortable with them for an hour. So
chat room is...
I smell a rat here. Is there a coupon code coming or something?
No, I had one, and so I cashed it in. So you can get a deal on them. It's not hard to find one if you go and look.
Okay. Chat room
says... it's only good if you use if you spend more than $20, which means you got to get two pair.
Ooh, it's red. Bookery wants to know if they taste like strawberry when you put them in your mouth, and then the text box says, I wouldn't lick them if I was honest.
I'm not
once they've been in your ear.
Yeah, I'm not licking them.
The acid carrot.
Yeah, they're great. Super comfy. And if you have either ear pods or earbuds, they make, like I said, they make both, and it's pretty fantastic.
Cool. Greeny, what do you have for us as a cool thing, sir?
Well, I have to say, the first thing, it has to be Logic 10. I love it. Anybody else tried it?
I was going to buy it this week, but I haven't had time. So give us a review, mate, a quick one.
Is it
worth the upgrade?
I mean, compared to, like, Aperture, which I've always thought, well, initially it was great, and then it became worse and worse and worse, and it's now terrible. It stalls and everything. And then you get Logic 10, and it's a slicker snot. It's fantastic. It's super quick. It seems to be very, very stable. Some
great features. Absolutely love it. And when it comes to the, I've tested it on production machine with on the iPad and stuff. Seamless. Hardly any lag at all between the two. Brilliant.
Can I ask a question, Will, please?
Yeah.
What does it bring to for a podcaster? Because I'm not a musician, but do podcasts. Is it worth me getting it?
Probably not.
Are you still required to do aggregate device?
I don't know. I haven't tried it. But as far as for just your standard normal podcast who looks after wants a good compressor, possibly a limiter, EQ settings, and that sort of stuff. None of that has changed that much.
What would be different for a podcaster, though, Will, is the ability to take Skype and shove it on one line without having to go out to SoundFlower and create an aggregate device if you're using a USB input.
Multiple... You don't need aggregate devices, too.
No, but aggregate device is a piece of crap because it always fell over because it never recognised the aggregate device once you'd restarted the machine again. It was awful. So if you've got two USBs, it won't recognise two separated USB inputs, even if they're using completely different drivers. So you've got a Yeti and a Snowball in, or a Yeti and a Rode Podcaster in, and it still sees those as USB devices, and you can't put them on identifiable channels. You have to go through aggregate device, and you have to search to find the input channel. If it gets rid of that, then it's worth it. But
Have you tried that part?
No, I haven't, but I don't believe it does.
That's always been your hang-up, whinging about... It's because you're using these crappy blue things, aren't you?
No, I use analog, mate.
Yes, and who told you to use analog?
That would be you.
Yes, exactly.
I followed your advice. I follow your advice on a lot of stuff, mate. I don't think you're a twat like everyone else. Now, listen, Greeny, does it come with loads and loads of loops, and are they any different from the last lot of loops?
No, the loops are very similar.
Oh, that's crap, then.
Yeah, no, hold on.
No, you gig of them, though.
The loops are, maybe there's some differences, but I haven't sensed any differences. But the other stuff it comes with, but for a musician, it's fantastic. If you want to use it for vocal recording, podcasting, for example, and you bought Logic 9, then you probably don't need to bother. If, in my instance, my studio machine was running Logic 8, so is not supported on...
So you said the update from 8 to 9 was really not worth it.
It wasn't, no. But from 8 to 10 it is.
Right, but not from 9 to 10.
Mainly because of the operating system support for the new version. But it is, and it's really fast, and it's great. I love it, absolutely love it. And some of the UI interface design, putting the...
I say graphically it looks better.
Yeah, it's much better. Putting the transport controls at the top, it really is good. So for £140, what it gives you is great. Mm. If you're not a musician, I'd still... If you've got £140 and you're a podcaster, I'd buy it anyway.
Except it's 200.
No, it's $200.
Oh right, okay.
£104.
That's all right then. I might buy it then. $139.99.
I got a second pick.
Oh, go on then.
It's called, and you might think it's complete bollocks, but that's fair enough. The Book of English Magic. Absolutely loving it. Picked it up in London this week. One of the best books I've read in years. I know it sounds a bit...
What's different between English magic and American magic, then?
Paul Daniels.
The accent.
Well, according to this book, the heart of magic is in England. I didn't write this book, don't get me wrong, but the heart of magic is in England, and it goes through it piece by piece, ley lines and all this sort of stuff. But it's really nice. It gives you practical examples. So let's take ley lines as an example. It tells you what OS maps to get. You need to get a pencil and a compass and a straight edge and stuff. And so on a dark and wintry night, you can spread a map over your kitchen table and look at a map and try and figure out where there are ancient monuments and stuff. And then try and plot the ley lines using your straight edge and pencil, And then when it's a nice day, you can take your wife and your children out and explore the English countryside and see if you can find waypoints on the ley line that sort of reflect what you've done on the map. That's just one example. It's full of practical fun stuff that you can do like that. It's good, isn't it?
Cool.
Belts. Only there.
Yes, Belts in the chat room is saying it's a good upgrade from GarageBand if podcasters are looking to move from GarageBand into something that's far more advanced logic sound wise. Then Logic's a good move.
I would argue at that point. I don't think it, from a sound point of view, I don't think it will give you anything more that much.
Text by says my stream has just frozen after I heard Greeny say spread 'em.
Will, your book is £5 on Kindle at the moment. Save £12.
Wow.
Good. Yeah.
I wouldn't buy it on the Kindle. I really wouldn't. It's one of those books that it needs to be... It's a physical book.
It's an experience, not a book.
At the start, there's some lovely illustrations. Well, it's every other page is a fantastic illustration. And it kicks off... the inspiration of this book was from this magical bookshop in Covent Garden. And I'm going to take my book and get it signed by the people at Covent Garden. It's one of those books you have to physically feel it.
Shouldn't that be in Diagon Alley?
Huh?
Shouldn't that be in Diagon Alley or whatever?
Yes.
To be honest, it's very similar. It really is that similar. I really recommend it. I bought this version. I tell you what, I was wandering down. I was in Holborn. And I bought my curry, and I had a beer, and then I saw this bookshop, and I thought, I'll just sort of stroll in and just see what they've got. And then it's one of these books that sort of leapt out at me, and...
Well, it's magical.
And it's one of the best books I've read in years, because I read books on Kindle or on the iPad and stuff, and it's okay, but it's not quite the same. And I've sort of fallen out of love with reading. Except when it comes to this book. So it's in paperback now. It's also in hardback. It's great.
But, Will, when you left the shop and you turned round, had it disappeared?
It had totally gone.
It's not Mr. Ben. It's not Mr. Ben.
No, the shop, not the shopkeeper.
Hayley Oborn likes British Techno on Facebook. Thank you, Hayley. Very kind. She's just done it. The picture of her feet. My cool thing, last night I picked Rome Total War. Alyssa's got me into this, and Sam off the Gamer Show as well. Sam's an adamant fan of Rome Total War, and we were talking at the Bash, and I liked it once before when it was China something or other. I downloaded Rome, and I'm addicted to it now. So's Ellis. And then last night, when I was trying to find a graphic to do Rome Total War on the Mac Show, I found out they do a Napoleon Total War, and I downloaded it fatally. I didn't get to bed till 20 to 2. You can tell I'm off work. I downloaded it. It's £20.99, so it's not cheap, but the graphics are significantly improved from the other Total Wars, and the playability is excellent. And it's the same kind of structure that you're familiar with, but there's loads more to do, and the sea battles are just incredible graphically. So get it. It runs just fine on me, Mac. There was a comment on the thing that said it didn't run on a 2011 MacBook. Well, I've got a 2012 MacBook and it runs just fine, so I can't see what the issue is, perhaps. The spec wasn't significantly different from the one that he listed. But there you go, Napoleon Total War. It's cool.
Has it given you a Napoleon complex, though?
No, I'm not sure, so no. Napoleon is amazing, says Belts. He's obviously half French. But the good thing is, as well, you can play as Napoleon and deliberately lose, you see. So the French lose in the end. And like I said last night... on
Is Rome that Total, what you're telling yourself?
No, last night on Rome Total War, I was kicking the crap out of the Gauls, so anything where you can kick the crap out of the Gauls isn't bad. Is it a short game, says Russ. Boom, boom.
Doesn't sound like it if you were up till 2.
Where can we get a hold of you and try and do it in less than 30 minutes, Mr. Madden?
You can get hold of me on Twitter at Clausio101 or regular guest on the media show and normally the big show and this show, actually.
Good man. Excellent. Monsieur Christensen, where are you?
I am at MacCast.com, also MacCast on iTunes. Also do an iOS-related show with Jeff Gamet, who is on the Big Show, I think, still here in the comic show.
Yep.
So if you want to check both of us out on another podcast, iOS-related, WeHaveCommunicators.com.
Excellent. And thank you very much for stepping in this week, mate. The holidays have hit us hard, and you're very kind to come back, even though it's not your week. You're always welcome on, so... we just kind of asked you once a month because it's just like we didn't want to overtax you, you being a celeb and all in the Mac world.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Flatter the guests. And Kelly, where are you, Mrs.?
You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso, and you can also find me elsewhere on this network, occasionally on other things, but mostly on the comic show.
Excellent, mate. Thank you. And you've got some big interviews on the way up, haven't you, on the comic show?
Oh my God.
Just
such
a little. Just
for being a show and it's still in its single digit episode numbers, I can't believe the amount of interest that we have and the number of people who are interested in it. And the best thing I can say about the comic show, I actually didn't say, it was Alex Fox, British Tech Network regular, who said, "I listened to your show and you guys are making me want to read comics."
There's a few people. Anders has sent that in as well. Same ethic, yeah.
Yeah, and so it was really exciting to find out that somebody was just caught up in how excited we were about all of it and then was, you know, got interested, was like, "I listened to you guys because, you know, you're a network show," and then, like, it's something that I want to get into. So we have a segment now on the show called "What Should Alex Read?" And so if you're looking to do an introduction to comics, it's not all inside baseball. It doesn't get super in-depth nerdy. We also have stuff for people who are new to comics. So,
wasn't Alex Reed a serial killer?
I don't know.
I think he was. Maybe I've got that wrong, but Alex Reed. Greeny, where are you, mate?
BritishMac.com.
Succinct, mate. When's the next podcast out? I get emails, mate. I probably get more emails than you do about when your podcasts are coming out.
Well, I was hoping it'd be this weekend, but I don't know whether it's going to be or not. It might be, or it might not.
So you're about the same as everyone else, then?
Pretty much.
Show it in your podcast. Maybe, maybe not. You don't know.
Good lad. Oh, a man who knows his life. Mapped out. I'm going to do sod all between now and Monday.
Oh, no, it's not that. I've had some real personal troubles over the last few months. They've totally thrown me on a bit of a bender. And
wife and two kids is never easy either.
And that's right. I mean, I'm working away most of the weeks, and I get back at the weekend. And I'm knackered, you know.
Yeah, no.
Exactly. Anyway, there it is. I'm not mooning, but that's the deal, really.
Is Napoleon Total War like Civilization? Yes, but we're fighting.
Oh, okay.
And you can control the battle, so you can send where people go and send people round to circle round the back and that kind of stuff. Which is great with horsemen. Send the horsemen around the back, come back in, get them in with the spears. It's the only way the spears can't have no effect. There you go. And we'll be back next week. Max Show back normal time, and Big Show Thursday, Max Show Friday, and Photo Show as well. And Photo Show's happening tomorrow at 12 o'clock. So, see you then. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
See you soon.
Cheerio.